heaven. We all want to get there. After all, it's our ultimate destination, right? Jesus founded the church and gave us the sacraments to help us get to heaven because he knows we're going to stumble and fall along the way. The key is to take his hand, get up, and try again. That's what practicing Catholic is all about. How to accept God's grace and mercy and live as his daughters and sons. At times, it seems out of reach. But we know, with God, all things are possible. Learn to draw inspiration for practical ways we can live in God's love, how to serve God and his people as his local church, and hear about what's happening in the Archdiocese of St. Paul and Minneapolis. Sit back, relax, and settle in for this week's Practicing Catholic.
Welcome to Practicing Catholic. I'm Patrick Conley, and thanks for joining me for another show. Hey, are you Eastered out yet? Have you had enough of these 50 days of celebration? Man, it gets to be a long time, doesn't it? We thought Lent was long, and now Easter is finally starting to wind down because this weekend, most of us will be celebrating the Ascension of the Lord, and what a glorious thing to celebrate. At first glance, I grant you, it may not seem so great, at least to the disciples in that very first Ascension. It appears as if Jesus is leaving them, not unlike it appeared when he was handed over to suffering and death, that somehow the great mission that he invited them to go upon had now failed. But now, perhaps it's even worse. I mean, he has risen from the dead, showing himself to be invincible. So now must be the hour, right? The hour to regather the tribes and oust the Romans and once again establish the Davidic kingdom forever. You can almost hear the excitement and anticipation in their voices as they ask him, "Lord, are you at this time going to restore the kingdom to Israel?" The disappointment and confusion seems equally palpable as he offers his cryptic response, "It is not for you to know the times or seasons that the Father has established by his own authority." Here, as always, the words of Jesus offer an invitation to trust. And whether a disciple from the first century or the 21st century, the invitation remains. When things are not going according to your expectations, when God is not acting in the way that you anticipated, when it all just doesn't seem to make sense, Jesus says, trust. There is a timeless divine plan unfolding that you are intimately part of, but quite frankly, that you know little about, the magnificent goodness of which will not be quenched by human expectations. And then, both in the account in Acts as well as in Matthew, Jesus is lifted up from sight. But here's the thing. As our physical eyes blur, our spiritual eyes must come into focus. For in his ascension, Jesus is offering us an even greater reason for trust, that he transcends not just physical death, but of all mortal existence. Again, from St. Paul, "For this momentary light affliction is producing for us an eternal weight of glory beyond all comparison, as we look not to what is seen, but what to what is unseen. For what is seen is transitory, but what is unseen is eternal." The ascension is assurance. In ascending, Jesus is assuring his disciples of all times that he reigns not over an earthly kingdom, but a heavenly one. His kingship is not for one generation, but for eternity. He sits not on an earthly throne, but at the right hand of God, and he invites us to reign with him. In the meantime, what is our responsibility? Martyrdom, being a witness, telling the good news, teaching and baptizing, making disciples, bringing divine transcendent power to bear in this mortal realm, and opening the spiritual eyes of anyone and everyone around us. Another great show coming up today. First up, we're going to be blessed to be able to speak with the chairman and CEO of Relevant Radio, Father Rocky. He'll give us an inside look at what makes a worldwide Catholic radio network tick. Plus, you may be familiar with Dorothy Day and the Catholic Worker Movement. We'll explore the Lake City Catholic Worker Farm with Sarah and Paul Freed and learn about what they produce and how it connects them with the Lord and our Lord. And from country to the city, a Twin Cities Catholic church is involved with the 2023 Art of Whirl in Minneapolis and will speak with two Catholic artists about the event and how their faith plays into their work. That's all coming up on the show today. Let's, as always, pause here at the top of the show, giving the show over to our Lord through the intercession of our Blessed Mother. Please pray with me in the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. Hail Mary, full of grace, the Lord is with thee. Blessed art thou among women, and blessed is the fruit of thy womb, Jesus. Holy Mary, Mother of God, pray for us sinners now and at the hour of our death. Amen. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. Well, many of our faithful practicing Catholic listeners are also faithful to listening to other great programming on Relevant Radio, whether that's on 1330 AM on relevantradio.com or on the versatile Relevant Radio app. That could be the Patrick Madrid Show, Father Simon Says, the Drew Mariani Show, Daybreak with our own Paul Sonic, or even, yeah, The Inner Life with yours truly. If that's you, you'll recognize the name and voice of our next guest. Here with us again is the chairman and CEO of Relevant Radio, a priest of Opus Dei, and co-host of the Family Rosary Across America, Father Francis Hoffman, better known as Father Rocky. Welcome back to the Practicing Catholic, Father.
Patrick, it's great to be here on this show, broadcasting on 1330 AM up in the Twin Cities, St. Paul, Minneapolis, WLOL. Land of Lakes,
yeah.
Or Lady of Lourdes, or
yeah.
Lots of laughs, but it's great to be on your show.
Thank you. Great to have you back. Well, our mission here at Relevant Radio is bringing Christ to the world through the media. Remind us of the current reach of Relevant Radio, and what are some of the newest markets, Father?
Well, we've been tremendously blessed over the last several years with the growth of Relevant Radio. We're currently broadcasting on 206 AM and FM stations across the country, coast to coast from Maui to Maine. And in 2019, we were able to expand into a number of major cities through an acquisition of stations from Salem Media Corporation. So that would have been Dallas and Houston, San Antonio, the lower Rio Grande Valley, McAllen, and Edinburgh, Texas. We expanded into Miami and into Orlando and into Tampa and into Jacksonville, Washington, D.C., Boston, Pittsburgh, Youngstown, Ohio. And then recently we've expanded into Denver and St. Louis and Seattle and Detroit and Toledo and Tucson and Honolulu. And I may be leaving one out there, but it's been an enormous growth. So today we reach about 260 million people. Our data tells us that in the course of a year, 4 million different people will tune into our programs on average about 25 minutes a week. Of those, 10% will listen about 4 hours a week. That's about 400,000 people listening 4 hours a week. And of those, about 10%, another 40,000, they're listening all day long.
Mm.
So I want to thank all of our listeners out there for the prayers and support, because without them, we could not have grown like this.
What a fantastic amount of growth that you've seen, but all of it came from rather humble beginnings, right?
Well, it certainly did, but from generous hearts. It was Mother Angelica in the 90s who would say on her TV show, "If you buy a radio station, I'll give you the programming for free." Well, that fell upon the heart of some good Catholics in Green Bay, and Mrs. Cavill called her son John Cavill into the living room and said, "John, come here." And he came in, "Yes, Mom, what would you like?" "Would you buy a radio station so we can put Mother Angelica on the air?" And so he sold a significant portion of his company. He got a down payment on a station, WJOK 1058 from Green Bay, and that caused a sensation. And quickly, other Catholic businessmen in the area joined him. They were all part of the Legatus group. And in no time, Relevant Radio was launched, and it started on one station. Today it's on 206 stations. And we hope by the end of 2025, we will be in all top 100 markets.
Mm. Now, tell us about the relationship between Relevant Radio and the United States Conference of Catholic Bishops. What's our relationship with the bishops?
Well, we're reaching out to Catholics, and so from the very early times of the church, one of the church fathers wrote, and you could probably tell me which one it was, "Do nothing without the bishop." I don't know if that was St. Augustine or if that was St. John Chrysostom or it was Irenaeus, or it was one of them, all right?
So sounds a little bit like Ignatius of Antioch, but
could
I might be wrong on that.
Could be, all right? So from the very beginning, we've had a wonderful relationship with the local bishops and with the United States Conference of Catholic Bishops. And currently on our board of directors, we have four bishops, including two archbishops. And then we have an auxiliary council called the Episcopal Advisory Council, made up of about 30 bishops and archbishops and several cardinals. And one of our guiding principles is to be united to the bishops. So in our programs, we don't criticize the bishops or their people or their programs or preempt their prerogatives. And sometimes people say, well, if you guys don't, who will? I said, everybody else will. Everybody else does. That's not what we do. That doesn't build up unity in the church, and it doesn't provide solutions, and it doesn't put the focus on Christ.
Mm. Yeah, good point. And I believe one of those archbishops on your board of directors is our very own Archbishop Hebda, if I'm not mistaken.
That's right. We're very blessed to have him on air. He's prudent. He's wise. He's very intelligent. He's got very strong zeal for evangelization. So we're very blessed to have his advice and his counsel and support.
Mm. Well, as it seems that new ways of promulgating information, Father, are being invented almost daily thanks to the internet, what's so strategic about radio in reaching people with the message of the gospel?
It's true. There are always emerging new platforms for delivering information. And if we take a look at the history of evangelization, before the invention of writing, it would have been word of mouth, right, in the time of Abraham and Moses and such. And then your mode of communication would have been papyrus. And then in the 1400s, the 1300s, it was the Gutenberg printing machine.
Right.
And that accelerated the dissemination of information. And then we came into the printing press. And then in the 1900s, we came into radio and then television, satellite communications. Now we're in the information age, which is interesting because the largest share of the economy in the United States and the G7 world is information, right? So those are always challenged. But at the end of the day, it really comes down to the quality of the content. So we want to be everywhere where we can deliver information, but the radio still is a really solid mechanism. There are over 293 million people tune into the radio every week. 88% of Americans turn into the radio every week because it's in their car and it's free. It's the same percentage of people who have access to a mobile phone, 88%, or mobile internet. 93% have access to a mobile phone, but 88% have access to mobile internet. Guess what? We're there on the app.
Yep.
We're not on satellite. We got closed out of that opportunity, but it really doesn't matter because there's only 30 million subscribers to satellite. And with our radio stations, we reach 250 million people. And through the app, potentially, we can reach 5.5 billion people around the world. That's how many people have access to the internet. Mm-hmm. And so we need to be there.
Yeah, absolutely. And I don't know if our listeners are familiar with the You Love Traffic. And you're famous for saying that.
We love traffic jams.
Yeah, exactly.
Right, so
yeah.
If you take out your Google map on your phone and you look at any city, you're going to see these red spots. That's a traffic jam, right? So our target market are people who have an average commute of 30 minutes or so in any direction on their way to work. They're going to tune in. And that's where you get them. So 85% of our listeners are in their car, like right now.
Mm-hmm. And I also don't know, Father, that if people know your little trick when you rent a car, what do you do with the radio there, Father?
All right, well, we're all called to evangelize. Jesus said, go out into the whole world and preach the good news, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and the Holy Spirit. So whenever I get a rental car, the thing I do is I find the local radio station, and then I hold the button on the radio dial until it beeps. That means it's locked in. And then I hold every button until it beeps. And that's called manic marketing. But it works, right? Because the next person who gets in their car discovers relevant radio.
I just can't wait for somebody to call into one of our programs and say, yeah, I just got this rental car and the radio was set to this station and then I just started listening.
Yeah, no, I've heard that a number of times. Yeah. I heard that from people down in Fort Myers and Naples that picked up the car and there's our station.
All right, it works. All right, next rental car. In fact, I'll set them for the next rental car I get. We're speaking with Chairman and CEO of Relevant Radio, Father Francis Hoffman, Father Rocky. And he is giving us an update on Relevant Radio and just how the reach of Relevant Radio is ever expanding, bringing Christ to the world through the media. Now, having recently visited the new Relevant Radio headquarters in Lincolnshire, Illinois, one of the things that really impressed me was the number of different people in different positions that work together to keep Relevant Radio running smoothly. It's not just someone sitting down at a mic, is it?
No, there's a lot more behind that. For everyone on the mic, there's 10 people in the background. There could be IT specialists, software engineers, radio engineers, radio station engineers, and then you've got the marketing and the promotion. You've got finance and accounting, and there's a lot that goes into it. And we're blessed that we've got a business model that works. You know, it's all based on scale, so the more stations we're on, the less expensive per hour it is. So last year we delivered 100 million hours of information to 4 million people at the cost of 17 cents per hour per person.
Okay.
Which is very, very inexpensive for an hour of information. You can't do that in a high school, grade school, or university, or any other setting. Mm. Why is that? Because with the radio, we don't have to build a dormitory or a cafeteria or a library or a football stadium. We don't have to pay for heating, air conditioning, or anything. We just are getting information out on the sound waves. You pick it up in your car. And it is the most cost efficient and also the most effective way of evangelization that I have ever discovered. And I've been involved in all sorts of kinds of evangelization, teaching in grade schools and high schools, universities, doing missionary work in Central America, hospital work, going door to door like a Jehovah's Witness, knocking on doors and saying, yeah, would you like to talk to me about Jesus? And usually the answer is, no, get lost. Right?
Yeah.
But on the radio, the person who turns on the radio, they've made the decision to listen, so they don't feel threatened, they don't feel imposed upon, and they kind of listen in, and then they can use their own intelligence to decide, all right, is this worth it or is it not?
I think there's something very strategic about that. I was reflecting recently with another person. That's one of the things I really value about the possibility of doing evangelization through the radio, is that people do, they opt in. They have the choice. They can explore things at arm's length with no pressure, no judgment from the outside, no fear of that. And I see what you're saying. It can be very, very powerful.
And I think we all have those kind of moments at Relevant Radio where we can give a testimony about, you know, wow, that was really something. Years ago, before I was working full-time for Relevant Radio, I was driving into school in the morning. I was chaplain at Northridge Prep. I still remember exactly where I was. It was on the corner of Milwaukee Avenue and Dempster. And I'm sitting at a red light. And a voice comes on the air where a guy clears his throat and says, I couldn't get to sleep last night because this afternoon I've got a meeting with my brother Tom, and I haven't spoken to him in 10 years. And then another young voice comes on and says, if you think you can't make it right, you're wrong. A message from the Catholic Church. And that was something I needed to hear at that moment. And I'm thinking, who is doing this program? Who knows that I'm here right now? Who put that on? Well, it's the Holy Spirit. It's a Holy Spirit moment. And how many times I've known as a priest, people come up to me, whether I've been on the radio or I've been preaching, said, Father, when you said X, Y, and Z, it really helped me and it really made a breakthrough. And I'm thinking, I never said X, Y, Z. And I didn't. But that's what they heard. They heard X, Y, Z.
Right.
But I said something else, but the Holy Spirit used that for them.
Right. Well, with all the wonderful things that the Lord has done through Relevant Radio to this point in history, any insights, thoughts you can tell us about how you sense the Lord is moving Relevant Radio to become bigger and better in the months and years to come?
Well, I don't know if he wants us to be bigger, but he always wants us to be better and holier and more faithful. Certainly, the sky's the limit in terms of evangelization because Jesus said, go out into the whole world and preach the good news. So we do have a goal that over the next 3 years, we can expand to all 100 top markets in our country. Then beyond that, it's always improving the programming so it goes viral, not only on the stations, but through the internet. On the internet, you potentially have access to 5.8 billion people in the world. We're in a good situation there because we've got the Catholic faith, so we know it's completely true. That's a great selling point. And then we've got the English language. And let's face it, no matter where you are in the world, you want to be able to speak English. And it's a fascinating thing that's happening with the development of language because of the internet. It becomes sort of a standard. So we have that to our advantage. Whether or not we could purchase stations in other countries like Mexico or Canada or England or India or Kenya or Uganda or these other English-speaking countries in Africa like Nigeria, I don't know. But we're already there through the internet. So our app has been downloaded in 192 countries. And but at the end of the day, you know, I remember meeting with a guy named Larry Wirt. He was head of NBC and WMAQ in Chicago, a practicing Catholic, 10, 13 years ago when I started Relevant Radio. And he listened to our story, and he said something to me I'll never forget. He said, Father, you don't have a niche audience, you have a hyper-niche audience, right? So that's how they look at it in terms of evangelization. So a corollary here is, if I can use an example, Bud Light doesn't have a niche or hyper-niche audience. Their audience is everyone.
Yeah.
And so if they make a mistake, it really hurts. If we made a mistake, it's not going to offend 90% of the people in the world out there because they're not interested in what we're doing anyway. You know, the people who are interested in us are people who are Catholic or would like to be Catholic and would like to be a better Catholic. And so it's kind of self-selecting there. Are there limits to growth? There shouldn't be. You know, potentially Jesus wants every single human being on the face of the earth to be a baptized, practicing Catholic. And it's hard to say that with a straight face in America today.
Yeah,
in 2023, because it seems like that's not really into diversity, is it? No, but it's into truth, right? And that's the common denominator. That's what the mind seeks, truth, goodness, and beauty.
And you'll never see better diversity in the way it's supposed to be until you're living in conjunction with the Holy Spirit and following after the Lord. Well, Father, we've only got a minute or so remaining, but before we ask you for your blessing, what can our listeners do to help support the mission of Relevant Radio?
Well, a lot of things. First, say a prayer for us every day. Say Hail Mary, so that Relevant Radio stays true to its mission. That's my fundamental prayer, that we be faithful and united. And we can't take that for granted, because there's a danger when you grow and you become successful, you can become proud, or you could drift into idolatry, right? Which is like against the first commandment. What's the idolatry? Worship of self, worship of success, worship of money. So there's a danger there, right? And then disunity comes in, or dissatisfaction, dissension. So pray for us every day that we be faithful to our mission. Then, if you can get a bumper sticker and put it on your car for your local signal, that will help a lot. And then, if you want to spread the word, you could go to our website, relevantradio.com, seek out the parish ambassador site. You could volunteer to be a parish ambassador in your parish with your pastor's permission, and you can add in the bulletin, and you can make announcements from the pulpit about the Family Rosary across America. You might even get a banner that you can put in the atrium of your church with your parish's permission. And then help us financially to the degree you can, and be sure to leave a mention of Relevant Radio in your will, because this is becoming more and more important, because there's a monumental transfer of wealth going on. And if you were able to leave, you know, 10% of your estate to Relevant Radio in your will, we carry on that mission of evangelization way into the future.
Sounds great, Father. Thank you for joining us again on Practicing Catholic. May we have your blessing, please.
Through the intercession of Our Lady of Guadalupe, St. Jose Maria, St. Michael, the Archangel, St. Joseph, may you be blessed. May your travels be safe. May the Lord always be with you. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit.
Amen. Father, thank you so much for joining us.
Thank you so much, Patrick.
Keep on listening to Relevant Radio on air at 1330 a.m., online at relevantradio.com, or on the Relevant Radio mobile app. And don't forget to tell your friends. Coming up next, we swing into spring by supporting local Catholic farmers based out of Lake City. Stay with us.
How has Relevant Radio impacted your daily walk with our Lord?
I'd just like to offer up 1,000 thanksgivings to our Father in Heaven. I've been praying the chapel with you guys for the past 19 months. While I was incarcerated, my heart has been so softened through this ministry.
Oh gosh, the fruit of Relevant Radio has been off the charts. Lives have been changed. Prayer has been fostered. It's just been a wonderful, wonderful gift to, I know, a lot of communities. And now the world can listen to us in the country over our mobile app. We're listener-supported Catholic talk radio, and there's very few of these types of stations in the nation. And we try to give you a different look at life. And in order to stay on the air, we rely on you and your generosity.
Donate now. Join our St. Joseph Recurring Gift Society. There are both spiritual and practical benefits to joining our St. Joseph Recurring Gift Society. Call 1-877-291-0123. 1-877-291-0123.
Welcome back to Practicing Catholic. If you listen to our show regularly, you may have heard that my wife and I are blessed to live in a rural area. There's nothing like it, especially in the spring. Seeing such stretches of land got me to thinking about farming and how our sisters and brothers in agriculture are doing this spring. So we're thankful to be joined today by Sarah and Paul Freed, managers of the Lake City Catholic Worker Farm in, of all places, Lake City, Minnesota. Welcome to the show, Sarah and Paul.
Yeah, thanks.
Thank you. Glad to be here.
Many of our listeners have heard of the Catholic worker movement, and we've featured it on the show in the past, but please give our newer listeners a brief refresher on it. Sarah, let's start with you.
All right. Well, the Catholic worker, I could talk a long time about this, but I will try to keep it brief for you.
Very good.
The Catholic worker was started in the 30s by Dorothy Day and Peter Maurin, and to address the social needs of folks right in front of them. They talked about the Catholic social teaching. Matthew 25 with the works of mercy is really important to them, about addressing needs. So, you know, clothing the naked, feeding the hungry, giving drink to the thirsty, sheltering the homeless. And they take a personalist approach where you see Christ in the person in front of you and you do what you can to address that person's need. So part of that movement is a farming movement, an agronomic university, the word is. So we live on the farm and we live in community and try to live by those Catholic worker values of living in community, living simply, working for justice, that's what I would say.
Okay.
That's my kind of, in a nutshell.
Right.
That Paul might have a couple other things to add.
Yeah, anything from you, Paul, on that specifically?
Yeah, you know, real briefly, it just they wrote a newspaper called The Catholic Worker and was meant for your average Catholic working person in New York. That's where the name comes from. People get confused about that. And so they wrote that newsletter, and then people read it and said, this resonates with them, right? We need to live out the Catholic social teachings of the church and do it together. And so these communities sprang up on their own throughout the country, and we're actually celebrated our 90th anniversary on May 1st this year. So it's been around for a long time, and it keeps on going.
Yeah, amen. May it continue for as long as this earth endures. Let's keep it going, right? So, Paul, let me stick with you for a second. Where were you and Sarah first exposed to the Catholic worker movement?
Sure. Sarah and I went. I went to St. John's up in Collegeville, and Sarah went to St. Ben's up in St. Joe. And while we were up there, we both had taken theology classes, and during that time, we had our eyes open to a lot of just different ways we can live our life and live our faith. And the Catholic Worker has a little bit of a connection to St. John's and St. Ben's, at least when we went there. Dorothy Day had been there many times, and so did Peter Warren as well. In fact, St. John's and St. Ben's used to hand out the newspaper to their students in the 1930s, all of them. And so there's been a long tradition there. And so when we were kind of searching to say, how can we live out our faith, some students said, hey, there's some connection to Catholic Worker. And so we went to the Catholic Worker retreat out in New York during the Feast of the Holy Innocents in 1997. And that's how we got connected. And then, to make a long story short, we then dated after college and got married. And we knew we wanted to be Catholic workers. And on our one-year anniversary, we moved to the Winona Catholic Worker, where we did hospitality for women and families.
Wow. Okay. So now, Sarah, take us from those beginnings to where you got to today with the Lake City Catholic Worker Farm.
Sure. So when we were down in the Winona Catholic Worker, we lived there for about 3 years. And we were, many Catholic workers live on donations, like their houses are run on donations from the community. And we were running the two houses down there on roughly $28,000 of donations a year. That was both houses and everybody who lived in there, including guests and volunteers. So we were trying to determine a cottage industry, a way to support our houses. So there was a lot of brainstorm ideas going on, and one of them was to do a winery and to do some communion wine, possibly. So we started looking at that, and we got interested in just being out on the land. Not necessarily a winery. We were kind of looking towards that, but we really enjoyed being out on the land and caring for it. And so we had always wanted to live in community, and we thought, gosh, well, you know what? This is our opportunity. I think that we would like to move to a rural area and start our own community. So that's what got us to where we are now here on our land in Lake City.
Wow. Amazing. And it's amazing how the Lord will continue to lead and guide. And it's a great adventure that we go on when we're following him, certainly. Well, Paul, how has the spring weather this year affected your growing? Are you ahead or behind schedule?
Well, we're always a little behind, not because of the weather, just because we have lots of great things that are going on.
Fair enough.
Just recently, this lots of rain and warming weather has been really good for us. We grow a variety of things both outside and inside. We have a greenhouse that we built in conjunction with the University of Minnesota, so we do quite a bit of winter growing actually, and then that bleeds into spring seeding of tomatoes and peppers and things like that. So we're kind of on track, you know, how it always is. And also you look out a week ago and there's not a lot of weeds, and all of a sudden there is. So I would say it's probably par for the course.
Okay, very good. And Sarah, back to you now. Catholic, obviously, in your name. So give us a sense of how the faith plays into your work, maybe even especially on the day-to-day.
Well, our faith has, like I said, with Matthew 25, with the works of mercy, that really resonated with us. And seeing those Catholic workers like living out their gospel, living out the gospel very authentically. So our faith is our basis for what we are doing out here, and it grounds us in that way. But in specific ways, we try to do a community prayer once or twice, or once every week or two, when we have folks living with us. We also try to read the gospel in the morning, just to ground us in that way at breakfast. And then we use the Give Us This Day book that's put out by it's a liturgical press up in St. John's,
yeah,
or up in Collegeville. Yeah, so we like to read The Blessed Among Us, which is just a holy person. It's either a saint or just somebody who's doing really great works to give us an example of what we can live out and just to give us some inspiration. So we do that every evening. And then our work, we believe that manual labor is, God calls us to use all of our body, right? And when we're using manual, you know, we're working in the ground and we're using our hands and our bodies, we're really fulfilling who we are as human beings. And so that is, you know, that permeates everything that we are doing.
So very important. We're speaking with Sarah and Paul Freed, managers of the Lake City Catholic Worker Farm in Lake City, Minnesota. Paul, as you see, I'm pausing here because I realize the pun value of what I'm about to say, but as you see your work bearing fruit in people's lives, or maybe I should ask, in what ways do you see the work that you do bearing fruit in people's lives with your fellow workers and with others who benefit from your produce?
Sure. So we do a lot on our farm. That is not, I would say, conventional in a certain way. Like, so when you talk about relating to others, we, if in a farming context, we live in community, meaning that we have people that come and live with us. So we have a lot of people that come as like a summer intern that will come for 4, 8, 12 weeks. Those are typically college students or recently graduated. So they get to come experience living in community, experience growing food together, making food together, and selling that food. We also welcome student groups as well to our farm. We actually have about 60 to 70 students from a charter school in the Twin Cities coming to our farm this Tuesday. That's exciting. They get a brief snippet. A lot of these students have never been to a farm before. A lot of them are immigrant students. They get to come to our farm and see what a farm is like and pet a goat and, you know, see a llama and chase a chicken, you know, all those kinds of things. We also offer hospitality to people who are experiencing homelessness here in the southeast Minnesota area. We've got one room in our house. It's part of that Lake City tradition that Catholic worker tradition of hospitality. So we've been doing hospitality for about 19 years, ongoing. And so those folks get to come and experience the works of mercy, but they also live with us truly like they're part of our family. So if they stay with us for a day or two, that's great. If they stay with us for a month, it's just a place of respite. But longer than that, a lot of times people will plug into the work that we're doing, and they see value in that as well. And they get to experience the Catholic worker, while they're living here. And then we also have an on-farm store that's open on Saturdays in the summer, where we sell kombucha and our vegetables, and some food that we prepare. And so people can come and taste our great kombucha that we use with our locally harvested fruits and herbs or ethically sourced products. and they get to taste great food and see where it's grown, but also experience hospitality in a small way there as well. So they can come and we give tours lots of times, and just try to make people say, hey, you're welcome to see where your food is grown, but you're welcome to be here. You're welcome to hang out a little bit. And we're looking to do more of that in the future. But that's kind of a really high-level view of how people interact with the farm. But in a nutshell, we have a lot of people coming through the farm. Hundreds of people. If we might hit 1,000 this year, with student groups, and we're actually projected to have 200 to 300 students this year. Plus, our farm is open, and we get about on Saturdays probably 50 to 100 people. So it's exciting for us to be able to interact with lots of folks, because we gain from that as well. You know.
Yeah, of course. Yeah, but it sounds amazing. It sounds like there's a lot of potential there for reaching people to faith, even if it's just in pouring them a glass of kombucha, right? I mean, it's a great thing. It's a great thing. Sarah, back to you. Supporting local farmers, and Paul just mentioned ethical sourced and some of the ways that you can see where your food has been grown. It's a way we can be good stewards of the earth, for sure, but also to uplift our Catholic small business owners. So what does supporting local look like for you?
Supporting local for me would be think about as much as you can, find out where your food comes from, and then purchase it as directly as you can, right? So we used to raise hogs, and people would buy pork from us directly. We have quite a few people that come and get produce. We've had a lot of permutations throughout our years of farming, whether it's a CSA, a community-supported agriculture box, where you can get memberships through a farm and get a box every week or two or something like that, where they get a variety of vegetables and produce, and they have eggs sometimes, and it depends on the farm, but that's a huge support of a farm. You can also just be able to try to find where that food comes from, instead of just blindly going to a grocery store and just picking up food that may come from halfway across the country or other countries. You want to see those and support those farmers that are right here and trying to do the best that they can and raise things ethically. And and so that you're supporting good land use and supporting workers, fair working conditions and wages and things.
Wonderful. Thank you, Sarah, for that.
I would also say, for us specifically, come and buy our kombucha. We're raising the flavors. We get flavors from the local area, or like Paul had said, ethically sourced. Come and buy the kombucha, because it allows us to continue farming and continue doing this mission that we are doing here. We sell produce at that on-farm stand, and so come and buy our produce. We'd love to have people come and come by.
All right. Very good. Well, that was going to be my final question to you also. Paul, I guess I'll pitch it to you. How can people stay connected to you? How can they learn more? And how can they arrange to come and see you?
Sure. So you can, we're not really great at marketing, but that's okay. We let the Holy Spirit do lots of our marketing. But any Saturday in this, from June to October, you can come to our farm between 10 and 3 o'clock. We're between Lake City and Red Wing. If you search Lake City Catholic Worker, you search Google search for kombucha Lake City, you're gonna, or Catholic Worker Farming Lake City, we'll come up, and there'll be directions to be able to come out and see us. You can also find us on Facebook as well under John the Baptist Beverage Company. That's the name of our on farm store. And so if you look for John the Baptist Beverage Company, there is only one in the world. And that will give you directions to come and see us. And if you want a tour or something like that, reach out to us maybe a few days beforehand, so we can set up a time to make sure that we have somebody available to walk around the farm and talk about what we do.
Very good. And is the website that I stumbled across, lakecitycw.com, that's you all, right?
Yep, that is correct.
Yep. Very good. All right, excellent. Well, Sarah and Paul Fried, so grateful for the work that you do, and thanks for joining us on the show today. Thanks for being with us.
Thanks so much for having us.
Find Lake City Catholic Worker Farm again at lakecitycw.com or any of the ways that Paul just mentioned to search on the internet, and check out their Facebook page for updates on their offerings, plus lots of cool photos. Stick around. There's an opportunity for art lovers coming to Northeast Minneapolis this weekend. You won't want to miss it. Stay with us.
What does Relevant Radio mean to you?
I just wanted to remind our listeners that when they support Relevant Radio, they're not just supporting Relevant, they're also supporting their local apostolates who are given a voice through Relevant Radio for all of their ministries, their awareness of what they're doing.
Relevant Radio is a wonderful charity, and I know a lot of you have your own personal charities that you like to support. It might be the Cause of Life. It might be vocations. It might be Catholic education. They're all noble, and I'm glad you support them, and you should. But I'll tell you what, when you support Relevant Radio, I'll tell you, you give a real boost, a real platform, a real bump to every one of those outlets.
Relevant Radio is listener-supported radio. Join our St. Joseph Recurring Gift Society. Recurring gift partners provide a stable source of income for Relevant Radio, helping to reduce both expense and dependency on pledge drives, allowing us to focus on our programs and future needs. Donate now at relevantradio.com, keyword gift, or tap on the banner on the Relevant Radio app.
Welcome back to Practicing Catholic. Patrick Conley, glad to be with you again, along with Tom Halden sitting in the producer spot, and Paul Sadek, our technical producer, coming to you through the Relevant Radio 1330 AM studios in Golden Valley. As practicing Catholics, we see the fingerprints of God in our lives whenever we encounter the true, the good, and the beautiful. And a local parish is giving you the opportunity to trip the light transcendent, as well as give local artists a chance to showcase their talents and gifts. St. Clement's in Northeast Minneapolis is playing one of the hosts for this year's Art World. Joining us to tell us more are Christopher Santer, who is both an artist and an art teacher at Providence Academy. Welcome, Christopher.
Thank you.
And also Anne-Marie Cosgrove, an artist photographer and Art World contributor. Welcome to you, Anne-Marie.
Yeah, thank you. Glad to be here.
Well, Anne-Marie, let's begin with you. Tell us what Art World actually is and why it's so exciting that one of the locations will be at St. Clement's, besides it being your home parish.
Right. Well, I'm from Northeast, and Art World has been around for many, many years. It started out in a very small community of artists, and it's grown throughout Northeast. There's, you know, Northeast has been the Art World art crawl is all over Northeast, and there's a lot of music and artists and different venues that you can go to, and so it's really grown quite a bit.
It's fantastic. And tell us a little bit about your art, Anne-Marie. Can you describe it for us?
Well, sure. I'm a photographer, and I photograph everything. You know, they say that a photographer should, you know, zero in on one thing, you know, and I can't do that. I see the extraordinary in the ordinary of everything, and it's all of God. You know, really, it's a gift. And then I also discovered a program called Procreate, and I do abstract digital art. And a lot of times I'll take a photograph of mine and digitally, you know, manipulate it so you can't even tell that it was a photograph. And it comes out really great. Really cool stuff.
Wow. And this is the sort of thing that you'll be contributing to Art World this year?
Yes, yes. I just started photography 3.5 years ago. I was in education for 28 years. And I retired from that, and I was like, now what do I do, God? And he's like, get a camera. So I did.
Well, it's good when the Lord tells you to do something, it's good that we do it. So very good. Yeah. Christopher, let's draw you into the conversation. Now, tell us about your art.
Sure, yes. I've been a visual artist, primarily drawing and painting in the Twin Cities since the mid-90s, and it's been a mix of, you know, contemporary art and sacred art. And I would say over the past 10 years, it's definitely gravitated more towards maybe 60-70% sacred art commissions. And I still do other landscape and architectural rendering and other projects. But I probably, at Art World, I'll have primarily my prints of sacred art there, of which I've done a series of over 100 saints' portraits and other various full color paintings. The portraits are all in black and white, and prints of other commissions that I've done of Christ with children and Jesus with teens and different things like that. And most recently, last summer, I did an 11-foot crucifixion painting, which has been on my heart for many years, but I was actually commissioned by a place in the Twin Cities to do a painting on that scale, which was really a thrill, maybe the best painting I've ever done. So,
wow.
And
wow.
I'll have prints of that, too.
Yeah, all right. Very good. Fantastic. And yes, I hopped over to your website, ChristopherSanter.com, and I'm looking at some of the images of your of the saints that you've done. These are spectacular. Very good to see it. Now, as I understand it, Christopher, you had been away from Art of World for quite some time, or this is your first time participating in a number of years. Is that right?
Yes. I used to have a studio in Northeast almost 20 years ago, so I used to participate with an open studio. And I live in St. Paul, and I kind of brought the studio home years ago.
Sure.
15 years ago. And I tried to make it last year or the year before this invitation at St. Clement's and just wasn't able to make it work. So I'm really happy, really thrilled to be back and be a part of especially that group. It'll be wonderful.
Yeah, yeah. Well, very good, very good. Anne Marie, back to you for a moment. As your parish is hosting one of the locations, I'll ask you, will there be Catholic art on display? I think we've already heard that, but what can we look for in terms of Catholic art?
Oh, yeah. There's going to be different artists, Catholic artists that are there. I think every artist that's going to be there is a Catholic artist, and their art is... through the Catholic, there's a woman, I don't know, I think her name is Kathleen, I can't remember. She takes metals and makes beautiful jewelry and just it's beautiful stuff. And then somebody does stained glass windows, and there's a lot of different stuff. I take pictures of stained glass windows, and I do what's called intentional camera movement. And so it looks like the light from the windows are coming at you. It's a different thing to do with photography. It's another little fun thing to do. So there's just going to be a lot of people there coming and going. I think they're going to have church tours. And St. Clement's has the most beautiful stained glass windows, if I do say so myself.
Right, okay,
They really do. And wonderful Stations of the Cross. And so it's a beautiful church. It's the church I grew up in. And, it's kind of fun to be a part of this and, be in the basement where we're going to be, where I tried out for cheerleading when I was like, you know, in third grade or something like that, you know? So,
nice.
Yeah, it's very exciting.
Well, we should mention here, just kind of buried in the middle of the interview, so people are going to have to listen to the whole thing to find it, that Art of World is going to be Friday, Saturday, Sunday, May 19th, 20th, and 21st. It's going to be on Friday evening starting at 5 to 10 p.m., Saturday noon to 8 p.m., and Sunday the 21st from noon to 5 p.m. So that's when and where to check out Art of World at St. Clement's specifically. And we're speaking with Anne-Marie Crosgrove and Christopher Santer about the upcoming Art of World. It's going to be on, and the art is going to be on display there at St. Clement's in Northeast Minneapolis. Christopher, let's turn to you with a little bit more of a philosophical or theological question. What does art do for our faith?
Oh, that's a deep question, isn't it?
Yeah, exactly. In 2 minutes or less.
Yeah. Oh, well... You know, art always reflects thought and culture, and in many ways, you know, throughout history, the faith. There's such a deep tradition, especially in the Catholic Church, going way back to the early church. In fact, when I'm finding reference for early saints' portraits, I'm digging in through, you know, catacomb paintings and trying to get traditions from the early church, even, but. For me, I find that my faith infiltrates the painting, even if it's not sacred art necessarily. How I deal with landscape and beauty is all informed by and steered by the Holy Spirit and by faith. Mm. And for people to be inspired by that, I mean, we have the tradition of the iconography, which is really the window to heaven, seeing figures transfigured. And with my saints' portraits, I've kind of gone the opposite way. Both are, you know, legitimate. I mean, I love the beauty of iconography. But for my portraits, I've tried to go with a very now person on the street kind of look for them, because these were real people walking the earth here, and an expression of joy or certainty in them. There's just a you can hear the bell here. Mm-hmm. So I've heard people with that kind of, you know, connecting to those imagery and supporting their faith, being inspired by the imagery itself.
Yeah, yeah.
Sorry, I kind of lost my train of thought there.
No, not a problem, not a problem. Anne-Marie, how about you? How would you answer that question? What does art do for our faith?
I think it drives us closer to God. You know, you see beauty. Like I said, my art, I like to capture the extraordinary in the ordinary. I mean, okay. I look at a piece of grass, and it's no longer just a blade of grass. It's got lines. It's got, you know, it's got its own figure. It's got, and God designed it that way. And so when you look at art, for me, it's like the sense of drawing closer to Him. And even if it's just a blade of grass, you know, you can see the intricate design in which He made it. And there's different grasses, you know. And so I just think it's about, I think it's simplicity in a complex way, you know. And so I just think it's about finding the extraordinary in the ordinary. And it's always brings you closer to God.
Yeah. Okay.
I'm
good.
I'm sitting up on the North Shore right now. I've been up here photographing, and I'm just sitting in. I'm up at the Two Harbors, and I'm sitting here, and I'm watching stuff, and I'm just like, oh, look it. I'd love to capture that right now, but I can't. Yeah. And you know, it's just beautiful. I mean, it's absolutely. There's beauty in everything. You know. So.
Yeah. Christopher, any just in our last couple minutes here, any ways that that sacred art specifically has impacted you personally?
Yeah, I would say just in the making of it too. I mean, there's been some places I've been in front of sacred art in certain churches. I remember one out in Portland, Oregon, specifically, where I felt such a connection to the image, you know, being brought to weeping. It doesn't happen very often, but just the imagery coming alive to me, and in that moment of the life of Christ or of a saint that has moved me to tears. And it's a beautiful moment like that, because like Anne-Marie was saying, just drawn to God in that. Mm-hmm. So I think that is a great gift in the church of art.
Yeah. Well, we are blessed to have such talented artists in our midst, in our Catholic Church, in our local Catholic Church here in the Archdiocese of St. Paul, Minneapolis. We're blessed to have both of you, Christopher Santer and Anne-Marie Crosgrove, being faithful artists who are expressing the beauty of the Lord through the art that you produce, and sharing that at Art of World is coming up at St. Clement's here on the 19th, 20th, and 21st. So thank you both for joining us here on Practicing Catholic. We're grateful for the work that you do. God bless you as in the continued creation of art.
Thank you. God bless you too.
Yeah, thank you so much.
Just jump online and Google Art of World to find the website with the map of all the open studios this Art of World, and head to St. Clement's the weekend of May 19th through 21st to check out these wonderful sites for yourself. When we come back, Paul and I share some enriching events coming up this week. Stick around, we'll be right back.
What does Relevant Radio mean to you?
Every day, I learn something new, and I'm filled with so much joy and after about 6 months, I went to confession and started going to Mass again and receiving the Eucharist. If it weren't for you and what you do, I'd still be lost out there.
We hear from so many who may have wandered away from the church, wandered away from the sacraments, and there's something about what they hear on Relevant Radio, the Holy Spirit at work in their lives, bringing them back to church.
Relevant Radio is listener-supported radio. Please consider making a donation today. Join our St. Joseph Recurring Gift Society. Recurring gift partners provide a stable source of income for Relevant Radio, helping to reduce both expense and dependency on pledge drives. Join our St. Joseph Recurring Gift Society today at relevantradio.com, keyword gift, or call 1-877-291-0123. 1-877-291-0123.
Welcome back to Practicing Catholic. Hey, great show today. We're so grateful that you tuned in. But if you happen to miss any of it, you know where you can find the archive show over at practicingcatholicshow.com, where you also find links to our social media. Or you can jump on your favorite podcasting platform and find podcasted interviews there as well. Just search for Practicing Catholic Show.
And it's coming up, the ordination to the priesthood. It's next weekend, May 27th at the Cathedral of St. Paul, 10 a.m. Arrive early.
That's right.
Especially if you want to find a parking space.
Oh, my goodness. Yeah. Plan on, if you arrive at 9:30 or after, plan on doing some walking. That's what I would say.
All the faithful are invited to attend this joyous celebration of the presbyteral ordination for seminarians of the Archdiocese of St. Paul and Minneapolis completing theology four. We invite you to please pray for these men and for all priests.
Amen to that. Yeah, nice job with presbyteral there, too.
Thank you.
Paul. Yes, I know. You showed me up yet again. Well, hey, as we were saying last week on the show, you know what? You can just stick around. Come to the ordination. Get your blessing from all these new priests, right? And then stick around the cathedral, because the Archdiocesan Pentecost Vigil Mass is going to be on that same day, Saturday, May 27th at 7 p.m. So you can join in praying for a continued outpouring of the Holy Spirit upon our Archdiocese. So critical in this Synod evangelization phase, as we've seen the Synod roll out in our midst. So stick around and pray for that. A prayer meeting will follow the Mass, and that too is going to be right there at the Cathedral of St. Paul.
Coming up on Tuesday, May 30th, A Heart Aflame from 4 to 9 p.m. It's an evening of worship, fellowship, and reflection. During dinner, Father Bryce Evans will present Neri Newman and the Evangelization of Culture in a Secular Age. Holy Hour, Solemn Mass, Reception, and Dinner. And do you say Compline or Compline?
I usually say Compline.
Okay, I say night prayer.
You say potato, I say potato, right?
Well, let's pull the whole thing off.
Let's not, though. Let's let's continue this.
Philip Neri is one of my favorite saints.
I know. I was just listening to you say these names, Neri Newman and the Evangelization of Culture in a Secular Age. Yes, please, sign me up for that.
Philip Neri was usually found with a joke book.
Yeah, right, right. I heard that he used to go around Rome like tugging on other men's beards when they were being too serious.
That would be Philip Neri.
Yeah, just kind of patron saint of humor or something like that, isn't he? Yeah. But also a wonderful and, obviously, saintly man, and even had the ability to receive prophetic messages. And if you've never read the story about Philip Neri's heart, look that up online someday, too, his actual physical heart. That's well worth looking into. Well, as we said, we're not going to call the whole thing off. In fact, I think we'll do another show next week, if that's all right.
Okay.
Are you okay with that, Paul?
I'll be fine with it.
All right. Well, I think you better be, because, you know, you just talked about this presbyteral ordination that's coming up at the Cathedral of St. Paul, May 27th at 10 a.m.
Yeah.
We're going to do our annual ordination show. It is coming up. We're going to talk with Deacons Will Kratt and Kyle Etzel and John Rumpsa and Ryan Glazer, all of whom will be ordained to the priesthood on that day. Well, God willing, we don't want to look too far into the future when it comes to the will of God, but
never
God
assume willing, anything.
Exactly. Not with the Lord around,
right?
Because you never know. Things might change. But the plan is that they will be ordained to the priesthood on May 27th. You know what? We're also going to get on the horn with Archdiocesan Vocation Director Father David Bloom on how the Vocations Office encourages men to explore a priestly vocation. So it's going to be a show about the priesthood, yes, but some exciting news for our local church, for the Archdiocese of St. Paul, Minneapolis, as we speak to these four deacons who are about to be ordained priests. Thanks for joining us. Hear the word, receive the grace, and practice the faith.
Thank you for listening to Practicing Catholic on Relevant Radio 1330. Practicing Catholic is a production of the Archdiocese of St. Paul and Minneapolis. To listen to past shows or to contact us, visit practicingcatholicshow.com. Follow us on Facebook, Twitter, and Instagram by searching Practicing Catholic Show. And we'll see you again next week.